Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We're going to do a live CarCast show from Roadkill Nights. We're going to have Mark Trosel from Dodge on along with Leah Pritchett. But first, let me tell you about Dodge. Join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Get behind the wheel of a Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger and show the summer what you're made of. Hurry in today to the Dodge Summer Clearance Event and get a great deal on the hottest rides of the summer. All right, I also want to tell you a little bit about JB Weld. JB Weld is a proud new sponsor of CarCast, epoxy adhesive used by both pros and DIYers for over 50 years. It can be found at retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, AutoZone, Walmart, and Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. I also want to tell you guys about Zybar. CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. All right, guys, let's jump into the show right now. Live from Roadkill Nights with myself and Goldberg. Let's do it. What a great event. This is my first time at Roadkill Nights. You've been here. We were super delayed flying in. I was super delayed flying in, so I've been here for 7 minutes. It's already loud. It's big. You've been walking around checking it out so far?
Yeah, I put my wallet in a safety deposit box. Yeah, you know, this is my first time here, and it will sure as hell not be my last.
This is amazing. We're walking around. There's thousands and thousands of horsepower everywhere, and everything is brought to you by the same company that invented the minivan, which is fantastic. We were on the way here, we realized when we landed it was so hot already. It was like leaving LA, but we were just like, oh, we're gonna wear pants, we're gonna go do a show. And we got in the car, and the Uber driver on the way here, he has no clue what the settings are on the air conditioning vents. He doesn't know if they're open or closed. There's a little box with the X in it. It looks like email. Email is closed. And then there's the one with the squiggly lines. That's bacon. Bacon is open. Everybody loves bacon.
He was probably driving bacon. A Chevy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was in a Hyundai, Sonata, something. I don't know. All right, so we're going to get started. Guys, we're going to please welcome Mark Trosel, right?
Right.
Head of design for Dodge and SRT.
And a man who has a lot of my hard-earned savings because of the cool stuff that they've come out with. And lo and behold, there's another one on tap, the Red Eye, that I just changed the color on and the one I ordered. Hopefully this show's not live. My wife, I haven't bought her the G-Wagon yet.
You've got a few days.
I got a few days.
You got till next Wednesday.
Damn, that's not enough time. Well, maybe you never know.
Yeah.
It's all good.
No, you could print one of those out online and send it to her and like, it's taken care of. You're going to get this. You're going to get one of these other, you're going to get the trucks. So, Mark, you've been at FCA for quite some time now, right?
I have. 25 years. I spent my whole design career at FCA. So it's been a good career. I get to work on minivans, but also cars that pop wheelies, right?
Yeah,
We invented the minivan, but we also invented a production car that you can buy that does a wheelie.
Yeah. No.
So you asked him how long he's been here. We have to pull up on the site the picture of him that we've got. Hey, Dodge sent us, you know, to do some due diligence on what we were doing today. And it was a picture of you right when you got in the business with that car, and it's, what did it say? What did it say on the back window?
This was in high school. That was the back.
But what did it say?
Beautiful mullet.
Oh,
it future
was
car designer.
Future car designer.
Yeah. I think it's up there. You guys have a website, DodgeGarage.com.
Yes, that's where it is.
And it's up there. You can check it out. You can also read a nice big three-part article all about Mark, and so you can get into, like, what does it take to get into an industry like this? And I know people are like, oh, you got to know the right people and make some connections. Or you could just work your ass off.
Right.
You could just do it with a lot of hard work.
Yep.
One of the things I wanted to touch on is you guys have a little bit of history together, right? Because you guys did the Dodge Viper Cup event.
We did Bondurant. We did
Bondurant.
We did a Viper Bondurant event together out there. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
And I will say that I think you and I were leaving everyone else behind.
Well, that's what we do, right? That's why we get along so well. It was a lot of fun. It was an honor and a privilege to meet him. And anytime you can meet the people behind the cool cars that are being put out right now, and you can speak to them and hear the passion, and vice versa. I mean, let's be perfectly honest with you, man. I mean, I'm exhausted. I came straight from set. We're filming Knife or Death right now. I'm going straight back to set tomorrow. But I am in flipping heaven here. I would rather be no other place. And it's just funny to look at the picture of him on Dodge Garage and know that that guy came up with some of the coolest stuff that's out right now.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What are some of the responsibilities that fall under your job title?
Yeah, it is a tough job, right?
I mean,
people always see the glamorous side of things, right? You get to, you know, come to events like this and that. But yeah, so I'm responsible essentially for all Chrysler, Dodge, and SRT products, the way they look. I like to say, you know, I like to design a car that when you walk away from it, you want to look back at it, and then maybe it gives you goosebumps on top of it.
Yeah.
That's my job. That's what I try and do every day. And the energy that, you know, we get from this event and the people and customers, you know, I take that energy back and try and put it into the stuff that I'm working on, which is, you know, 2 to 5 years in the future.
Yeah. You know, you said you've been at Dodge for 25 years. There's been a lot of ups and downs with the entire company, and you've been around for all of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some of it's exciting, some of it's very frustrating, but right now seems to be kind of the golden era. Like, as we are seeing, like, an event like this, we've got, you know, we've got cars that pop wheelies, we've got, you know, we've got Challengers with 305 tires on all four corners, and there's drag racing going on behind us, and a lot of this is because of the cars that you guys are building now.
Yeah, I think we've, you know, you're right. I mean, it's been, you know, a roller coaster ride of, you know, we've been multiple different companies since I've been there. Good times and bad times through bankruptcy. But, you know, we are truly at in our groove. And I think if you look at each of our brands, whether it's the Jeep brand or the Ram brand and certainly the Dodge brand, each of those vehicles really have a soul to them, and that soul speaks to what that particular brand is all about, and we keep fostering that, and as long as we don't blur the lines with it, I think it keeps it pure and lets us make products like this.
How important was the Chrysler 300 to kind of pull the brand out of a slump, if you will, when the entire economy was bad?
Yeah, the 300 is, you know, it's one of those cars that, it's funny, we were just talking about this, that car still looks really modern on the road.
Yeah.
And that's part of our design philosophy, is to make sure that we do things that are timeless, that we don't have to keep trying to reinvent every single time. We can do subtle things to make them more modern. But the 300 was a very significant car for us, absolutely. I mean, the sales of that car when it came out were through the roof. And the car still sells very well for us in a market. Sedan sales right now are really kind of falling off, mainstream sedan sales.
Yeah.
Everyone's moving to UVs and that. And then Charger and 300 are holding their own for the most part.
Did you get to work on the Chrysler 300? Was that more of Ralph's project?
Ralph led the studio of that car. He was, I give a lot of credit to Ralph on the, you know, the bringing that car to fruition.
Yeah.
He had the vision for that
car. He put a little 100%. Gangster in it. He did a high belt line. He did 20-inch wheels. And he did a lot of aftermarket influences onto a production
car. Absolutely.
Right?
And that's what made that car so unique. You know, the face of it had so much personality. Yeah. And that's what Ralph brings to our organization. Ralph Gilles, who's the head of FCA Global. global design, so he has everything. Yeah. Alfa Romeo, Maserati. He has that energy and that vision. But the 300, certainly, that car has a lot of him in it.
I still want one of those Magnums.
Oh, the Magnum, yeah.
I mean, I just love that thing.
I know. The Magnum was great.
The cool thing also, too, is, you know, you guys invited me a number of years ago when the Challenger first came out again. Or, like, the not right when it came out. Like, 2 years after it came out. And I came to an event. It was a PIR. And I'm like, you know what? The guys are they're doing it again. They got me excited because I'm an old school car guy, you know? And the crazy colors, the crazy motors, the crazy design, that's what got me. Mopar's got me into the car world. And to see that in 2018 that I'm even more excited about what you guys are putting out than going in my 76-pack Cuda and driving it down the road, it's really amazing. And it's something that we talk about all the time on CarCast, you know, where the cars are going, whether it's autonomous or whatever it may be. But in this day and age, in 2018, to know that you guys are doing what you're doing, and it sounds like you're listening straight to me. but at the end of the day, you're listening to the car guy out there, and you're putting stuff that we'd want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing in this day and age, and we're so close, you know, to the Teslas out there and everybody jumping in something that looks like everybody else's car.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing the opposite. And from a car guy, man, to another car guy, I just cannot thank you enough. And you provided the intro for sound for, you know, our
yeah, I picked up on that. Yeah. No, but you're right. And I think that's part of what makes our company right now special is that there's the right ingredients of leadership that we're just like you. Like
There's no doubt.
I love, you know, what the energy of a, you know, I had a 70 Cuda, and that car had this energy to me. But I'm with you in that, you know, a new car, a Red Eye or a Demon has that same energy, but it's a little more fun to drive.
Well, it's a little more fun to drive, but it's also more reliable.
Yes.
And in a day and age when you want to get what you want out of a car, what these old cars used to give you, you can jump right into one of these 2018s and not worry about, you know, brake fluid, not worry about overheating of the car, and not worrying about this and that. You can just jump in and have fun and do it. Take the car for what it's worth. And, you know, as I said, I went up to PIR. You guys didn't change the rear fascia on the car, okay? Or you did that year. And I didn't want the car until you did that. Yeah. And that was a subtle difference that a car guy asked for years, you know, right when the other one came out, and I said, when they fix that, I'm in.
Yeah.
And you made that subtle change, and it totally changed the car, and now I'm addicted to it. So thank you very much. You're the reason why I work every day, so I can keep up with the, you know, your new inventory.
Where do you see it's going to go in the next 5 or 10 years? How much, what sort of performance products, these enthusiast products that we love, can we look forward to in the next 5 or 10 years, knowing that we keep, I know you guys get a lot of pressure. There's government pressure. There's EPA pressure. There's electric cars. There's hybrid cars. There's, you know, there's all kinds of rules of where, you know, where the government kind of sees us in 10 years from now. But there are fan base here. There are people here that maybe, like, you asked me, what do you want to do with the Challenger next? I want to see 840 horsepower all-wheel drive.
We've all been asking for that for a while.
Right?
You know, I mean, all, we hear all the rumors.
Drive with a manual.
Yeah, with a manual.
I want a Demon Charger.
That much harder.
Just add that on top of there. Look, from a design standpoint, that's easy. Yeah. There's another engineer around here somewhere.
Just go home and do it.
But what are you guys looking forward to? I mean, without giving it away, we're like, what are you guys looking forward to in the next 5 or 10 years?
That's a really good body charger.
A really good question. You know, because there is so much, you know, designing a car, there are so many influences, government influences. You know, every year there's new crash standards and things, and, you know, cars get heavier, cars have to, you know, be safer every year. And then, of course, you have the electrification piece. You know, that's, you read, you know, any blog, any newspaper, and it's going to be here tomorrow. Autonomous cars are going to be here tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be here as quick as, you know, maybe the internet is, you know, portraying it to be. It will eventually arrive. And we have to be conscious of that. And we have to be able to build vehicles like that. I guess I can answer it in two ways, too. One is that as long as we can still build cars that have 840 horsepower and give us goosebumps and pop wheelies, we are going to do it.
Yeah.
Because that's why all these people are here. And that's why, you know, you have this addiction to cars, right?
Absolutely.
No doubt. We are going to do that as long as we can. And if you look at, you know, you look at an 800 plus horsepower car and the fuel economy that you get with that, that with airbags and brakes and, you know, navigation, it's a pretty amazing thing that that does go on in today's age compared
and
to a 70.
And I can sit here in real time and tell you that even that the demon, and it's crazy, is much more tame and much more drivable than you would ever imagine.
Yeah, unless you're trying to hook up.
Well, yeah, there's no question. That's impossible.
Trying to get traction. Good
That's
luck.
Impossible. But you can literally take that car out and drive it just like any other car. As long as you don't slam the throttle, it performs well. It's got great gas mileage comparatively. And it's just it's a joke. You know, you go down the road and you're just laughing because you're tooling around.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can put it in any gear and just slam it and just, it's the coolest thing in the world. It really is.
I'll also say then that, you know, I think going forward, because of the people like us and the people that want performance vehicles, that even though electrification or twin turbo V6s and things like that, you know, are potentially in the future, that there's always going to be somebody hot rodding it, right?
Absolutely.
We're always going to figure out, you know, how to hot rod it. I think there's a special ingredient to that sound that, you know, we'll have to figure that out. But, you know, there's always going to be that piece in that avenue.
Do you think electrification is going to come down to a price point where we can start to put it in the more affordable performance cars for the sake of performance? Like, you could buy a Fiat 500, you can buy an all-electric car, you know what you're getting. You're getting an all-electric car. But there are brands. There's high-end brands. There's Ferrari. There's McLaren. They're, you know, they're using electrification to make it faster, to make it better. You know, well, Porsche.
Yep.
But you got to spend $300,000 to get it, or a million, or $1.5 million to get it.
Right.
Is there, do you think there's a point where the cost of electrification can be simplified, can be brought down to where we can get performance increases? For example, a Jeep SRT, you know, or the Hellcat Jeep.
Yeah.
Is there a future where it's gas-powered rear engine and then it has electric motors in the front? So now it's a hybrid,
right.
So you can go into all-electric mode and then be fast as can be in an all-wheel drive, you know, like a Hellcat engine with electric motors.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely, and you know, you mentioned some exotic car companies that, you know, those are the right places to be able to experiment with those type of
better
systems,
they better
right?
they figure exactly.
right.
figure some of it out, right?
You can charge for it, right? You know, that, you know, the price points of those vehicles are obviously higher, or you can experiment with, you know, carbon fiber, right? That was for a long time was so exclusive where it's becoming a little bit more mainstream because of that. Same with even aluminum, right? So I think that it, depending on the car company and the car line, there'll be a good mixture of the two. And I really think that, you know, it's a lot of it is what does the customer want and how do we cater to that? Because not everybody, I think, is saying, I want to have a, you know, big plug in my garage, you know, for a performance.
But it does
you're right,
seem
but
to
the
be
government
a timing
is saying,
deal.
Put a big plug in your garage.
Yeah, they are. They are, but there's ways, you know, how do we balance it, right? How do we balance it?
And we can do that for a while, maybe we're not going to be able to do it for forever, right?
Yep.
He's like, I have 25 years on the job. I've only got a handful more. I'm not even going to touch that when it's around. It's just whatever protege is working for you now is like, this is
it's
your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to deal with the plugs in the garage.
I have my demon in the garage.
Yeah. Right? Oh, your barn. That's right, your barn.
And among other things.
You guys got to follow him on Instagram. He's got a great Instagram account. He's got all these great barn shots out there as well. It's he's at Trossel Mark, TROSTLEMARK is his Instagram account.
And, yeah, I look at his Instagram and go, when did he get that? Then I pick up the phone or I send him a tweet or send him a message. And then, you know, you don't want to press him, you know. You don't want to ask him a question that you know he can't give you the answer for, so. You try to go the back door.
We've got, I see Leah Pritchett over there waiting in the wings. We're going to bring her on in a little bit. But before we do, we do have some exciting new products from Dodge. I wanted to run through a few of them because sure. I thought they were kind of cool. You mentioned the Red Eye. The Red Eye was announced. It's kind of all over the place now in the media. And our friend Kevin Wesley over here, he's been, I think he was running Pikes Peak in his car. The blue and yellow white car. He was running Pikes Peak. He raced it. I think he did Pikes Peak with it and raced it, but didn't tell anybody it was based on a Red Eye. And I think it largely is a Red Eye. And then once they announced it, they're like, he's been out there racing it the whole time.
There you hear the devious smirk over here from Mr.
Hide it in plain sight.
Yeah, hide it in plain sight. That's the way to do it.
So the Hellcat Red Eye, we can get into that a little bit. 797 horsepower.
Here's the deal.
Eight-speed automatic.
It's a wide-body Challenger, right?
Yeah.
With the Demon motor in it, and Challenger settings for the suspension.
Now we were looking at your Demon, and the Demon being mostly set up for drag racing does have a different wheel and tire package. It does have a different brake package. It has different suspension settings. It's not the same car.
Completely not the same car.
The car is made to go like a bat out of hell in a straight line.
Yep.
But where he lives, you got to turn to get up on that hill.
Yeah, and so what happened was we were doing Project Jackhammer, right?
Yeah.
I was going to turn the Demon into a road car, and then I figured that was pretty much bastardizing all the hard work that these guys had done, and I'm not going to do that. And so then I got the 17 Hellcat skinny tire car.
Yeah.
Challenger, right? And so then I'm like, okay, why don't I put a wide body on it? Why don't I do some suspension work and tune it up a little bit? And lo and behold, here comes the Red Eye.
Yeah, they already did it.
they did it right after I committed.
Yeah.
And so, like, I want to hit him and I want to hug him at the same time.
Like you said earlier, they're reading your mind, or they're listening to you, or maybe somebody listened to CarCast. Who knows? Somebody listened to the show. Some of the cool features of this car is, like you were talking about, this similar engine, massive 2.7 liter supercharger, and it's.
Just tell us about it. I mean, you don't have to sell me on it because I already bought it, basically. And so how many days is this from being aired?
Yeah, four days.
I gotta buy a G-Wagon in 4 days.
So with the Demon, it was obviously, you know, purposely built as a drag car. 9.65 in a quarter mile. The tire, like you mentioned, we have 18-inch wheels and, a 315 tire on it. A lot softer. Suspension is tuned for drag racing, where now the Red Eye, and by the way, we only built 3,300 of the Demons. With the Red Eye, we will build as many as Bill wants to buy.
Right.
Awesome.
So, we're not gonna constrain that one, but it's essentially the Demon engine. Where the Demon is 808 horsepower, the Red Eye has 797 horsepower. A lot of it has to do with airflow of the hood. You see the Demon hood, it's just massive.
Yeah.
Where the Red Eye is, you know, they're both functional, but
and the Red Eye hood's a throwback to the Duster. And
absolutely. Yep. I try to always respect the Mopar past, and you know, take cues from as much of our past as possible and do them in a little bit of a modern way.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you picking up on that. And the car has 20-inch wheels. The Red Eye has 20-inch wheels on it with 305-inch tires on it. So that's about 3.5 inches of width extra that we get from the wide body on it, too. So that little bit of tire goes a long way. But the car really is a completely different car dynamically to drive. You talked about cornering. The Red Eye is fantastic on a road course. It's fun to drive, and that engine is just amazing.
Tell us about the power chiller and the after run chiller.
I'm probably not the right guy to go into all the details on the engine. Chris Collin is our engine guy, and he has all the he'd probably want to punch me if I tried to get into the details of it.
The way I understand it, there's basically two forms of cooling. There's There's the SRT power chiller is a form of intercooling that you can use while you're racing. It starts to take the basically you have an air-to-water intercooler underneath the supercharger in the manifold, and it goes to a heat exchanger in the front of the car. When this is activated, it also runs and uses the AC Freon and cools it.
Yep.
And so
yep.
it keeps that charge temp lower when you're out on the track all day.
Yep.
But the after run chiller is basically a program that they put into it that once you get out of the car and shut it down, the cooling fans will still run and the water pump will still run through the intercooler.
That's awesome for a guy like me who just gets out of his car that he's driven the heck out of and doesn't let it cool down.
Right.
It's fantastic. So well, thank you again.
And so, by the way, if you want to take that out and drag race the red eye, for example, after three passes, you get this heat soak. It's where the heat's really robbing robbing horsepower. Mm-hmm. The after run chiller would keep that fluid going.
Continuous.
So you can shut down the engine and let that cool, and it's still pushing fluid around. And so it's really cool stuff, like stuff we've seen in race cars like that in the aftermarket before, now coming in factory cars, especially when you hear about some of the other brands having some heating and overheating issues in their flagship rides. So those are really cool features as well. But recently announced with our friend Leo Pritchett was the 2019 Dodge Challenger RT Scat Pack 1320. You guys love titles, right?
We do, but you know, there's something cool. You know, we talk about Mopar Pass, and you know, we've got these iconic characters that go with our cars. You know, back to this, to Scat Pack, and certainly what we've created with Hellcat, Roadrunner, Super B. You know, they're icons, and so we're trying to keep those alive and also create some new ones, with Hellcat and certainly the new version of a demon.
And hell, it makes them make more money on merchandise, too.
So, but the Scat Pack is a great package where we've we now offer an RT Scat Pack wide body, so the wide body flares and wheels, we've also offer that now on the RT, and then the 1320, which is a purpose built drag car, not quite as extreme as what the Demon is, but something that gives our customers a good a good basis to build off of.
You can certainly go to the drag strip with a car like this at a little bit lower price point, and it comes with basically has like drag radials on it, which is kind of badass, which I think you ended up putting on yours anyway. Or all your cars?
Yeah, all my cars.
So some pretty cool features that as well. It's going to have an automatic transmission in the 1320 and a trans brake.
Yep.
But that's all.
Yep. Yep.
That's all standard on that car.
Right.
So it's another way of getting out there and doing some drag racing in a fun car.
Yep. And that's the piece that I love about our brand is that we try and make sure that we give every customer and every piece that every customer wants to do something a little different with their car and try and give them and cater to them with these different packages.
And why make it a homogenized car that can do everything? Why not make specialty cars so you could sell more of them and get to more people?
Well, look, I know that you like to pack up all your gear and take Gage out to his baseball games and all that stuff, so just keep in mind that these guys also have a Durango SRT with a ton of power, and I know there's been some new features for this year, some cosmetic features, red seatbelts, and the lightweight Brembo brake package. All these little things start to make these things more and more fun,
Yeah, we can never leave anything alone,
Well, I'll be honest.
I don't know how many you get free. Like, do you get like a Dodge card and you buy five things, the six ones free?
Free, man. That's the thing. People have to understand that, even though this podcast is sponsored by Dodge and I do a lot with Dodge, I'm still out there buying every one of them. And so as much as I love them and as much as hopefully they love me, they're not giving me this stuff so that I can promote it. I'm going out and buying it and still promoting it because I love it that much. And as an example, I haven't been this close to one of these, the SUVs.
Yeah.
For a reason, okay? Because I like it now.
I know. Now you're going to want to drive it home.
So don't let me call you and order one of those until the red eye gets in and the G-Wagon for my wife gets in the driveway, because if not, I'll be castrated.
It's funny because when we were talking about doing this, launching this new version of podcast with each other for quite some time, and we just needed to get things aligned and schedules and filming and all this stuff. And when we were doing it, we thought ahead of time, let's go to Dodge. Let's go to Dodge and see if we can get them involved. This wasn't, you know, we started doing the show and Dodge came to us. We came in and pounded on the door and said, please join us. We're super fans. We love what you guys are doing.
It's awesome.
And Goldberg will promote your product every time his mouth opens.
And we're glad you said yes. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Mark, thank you so much. This has been fantastic.
My pleasure. It was fun.
Follow Mark on Instagram. You guys will love his account. And he's got a cool place. He's got some hot rods in there. He's got his Viper in there.
That's an understatement.
quite a few things, which are fantastic.
Yeah. And see, that's the cool thing, man, is that they do love cars. They don't just talk about it. I've been to a number of their events, their media events, and they're guys just like us. And it's cool, really cool, to know that that's the case and they're not putting a front out just to sell cars. They're just like us. They want to have fun just like we do.
You're missing this whole thing. She's taking photos, and he's photobombing you, and he's flexing on you, and she's shooting the whole thing.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ain't the first time for that to happen.
Jeez. All right, we're going to gear up and get Leah Pritchett up here, but before we do, you come over here. You stand right here for a second. You get the damn camera ready this time. Yeah. Good thing it was a photo and not a video, because he really swings in videos.
Yeah.
Thank All right, you. We're going to stop for 1 second, then we'll be right back with Leo.
Awesome.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to tell you about some of our great sponsors. You guys are going to love these guys. Of course, we have Wrangler. Everyone has a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great. No one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans, they're made for the modern-day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these jeans are for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for you. Plus, vintage re-releases. Those I love. You can visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. I wear them. I use them. I wear my fancy Wranglers for when I'm going out, and I got my beater ones too when I'm working on the car when it's cold. I wear them all the time. You guys will love them. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world. Guys, let me tell you a little bit about Continental. You've heard us say this before, but if you think of all the weird things you found in your cars, I'm not talking about garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you wonder about, folks. Another thing that will make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE on tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. And they're also original equipment on a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. This is that serpentine belt that you have on pretty much all your cars. Their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for a perfect fit, form, and function, and Continental has the OE Technology Series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you got enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com. Hey guys, let me tell you about JB Weld. JB Weld is a proud sponsor of CarCast. It's America's favorite epoxy adhesive. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for over 50 years. If you have a project, big or small, in your home, garage, workshop, or craft room, you need a strong, dependable, and permanent adhesive, try JB Weld. a wide variety of epoxy, super glue, and silicone products for repairing plastics, wood, metals, and more. And JB Weld is made in the USA. We've tried their products, and we recommend JB Weld. You can find them with the other adhesives at Home Depot, Lowe's, Advance Auto Parts, Walmart, and Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. Hey, guys, check this out. We've got Zybar with us, which we've loved. We've got this product over there. This is a revolutionary new product that our CarCast team is very excited about. We've got it over in the garage right now. We're going to try it pretty soon, too. This is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It's only a thousandth of an inch thickness. It reduces radiant heat by up to 90%. It's the first DIY thermal coating control of its kind. You guys will love this thing. It's non-corrosive and doesn't break down even in 2,000-degree environments. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coating obsolete. This is a spray-on deal that you guys can do yourself. It comes in four awesome colors: bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray that will make your engine a showpiece. It's available for purchase at Zycoat.com. That's Z-Y-C-O-A-T, Zycoat.com, and many auto part retail stores. Put Zycoat on, take heat off. Join the Brotherhood of Muscle at the Dodge Summer Clearance Event. Get behind the wheel of a Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger and show the summer what you're made of. Hurry in today to the Dodge Summer Clearance Event and get a great deal on the hottest rides of the summer. All right, guys, now we're going to sit down with Leo Pritchett, top fuel driver for Schumacher Racing. All right, here we are. We're back. Leo Pritchett, top fuel driver for Don Schumacher Racing with us. How about a big hand?
Hey, guys.
Right?
Aw.
She's faster than all of you. Combined. Combined. Well,
depending on their tickets, who knows? I don't know.
Thanks for sitting down. Thanks for joining us. It looked like you were having some fun out there today.
Had a blast. I think I've had the most fun here today, probably because I've been the fastest out there.
Yeah.
So we went.
That is kind of what you do, right? I mean, I hope you've been the fastest, because if not, you're doing something wrong.
Who got to see our burnouts today? Like the big smoky ones.
Yep.
Yeah. So who can guess? How fast do you think that dragster, the Mopar dragster, hit those last cones at? How fast? What do you think? Fast. Not ET. We didn't do ET on that.
Mile an hour.
Get it.
Take a guess.
220. Oh, man. Now you're making it look bad.
We got a 220
here. We got a 220 here.
He's got a 220 in the corner. Anybody else?
130.
130? You're fired.
All right. So we went back. So we did it. We did an awesome burnout, right? And
yeah.
If you guys could hear, the motor started to suck down a little bit. Started trying to be one with the clutch. It started to hook up. Like, we're running. Like, those tires are no longer wet. They're just spinning. And on that asphalt, they're trying to hook. So I felt it trying to hook, and I'm seeing those last cones, and I'm getting right to them. And right at 600, I lift. So we went through at 157 miles an hour, just blazing those good years.
Good God.
And it was fun. So thanks for watching. Yeah.
Fantastic. So we're in the middle of racing right now. You had a great year last year, fifth overall, right, in the points. This is your fourth year in Top Fuel.
That is correct. It's my second full year. So last year was my very first full year racing with Schumacher. This is my second one. And, yes, last year we started out really, really hot, and then we had trouble, some challenges in the middle of the season and more challenges in the countdown. So this year we had a little bit more strategy, and it wasn't to not do well in the beginning of the year, but was to, like I said before, diversify our performance portfolio for hot track,
yeah,
cold tracks, different conditions, different power plants, superchargers, really kind of hone in for the countdown. And we're two races away from starting our countdown. Right now we're in fourth place. And it is 7 points between 2, 3, and 4, which is less than one round.
Yeah, but between third and fourth was like 1 point.
One point.
A day ago.
Yes.
And that's an unheard of a statistic. It's just so close.
And that's what, I mean,
I feel like if you just got in the car like a second faster, that's a point.
Well, I mean, even what makes that difference is a qualifying position. A qualifying, let's say Q1. We're going to Brainerd, Minnesota next weekend. And we go make our first qualifying hit. And if we go low of that session and that third place guy, he goes third low of that session, I've got 2 points up on him. Now I've automatically moved into third. Now, by Q2 on Friday night, that could all change. So it's very fast paced.
Now, but Brainerd's a good track for you, right?
It is a good track. It treats us pretty well. We were number one qualifier last year, and we had backed up our world record. And then Clay Milliken actually blew that thing out of the water. And during the semifinals, like kind of in the heat of the day, like came out of nowhere. And you know what that did for us, though? Like, it got us excited. I'm not, like, we were mad. You know, we lost our world record by a couple thousandths of a second, but we were racing him next. And when you know that you have to rise to that level, that you get to put in your best tune-up, you're not racing anymore to go A to B and just be, like, a little quicker than the next guy. You're racing the world's fastest guy now, and it's for a Wally. Like, those scenarios don't happen very often.
Yeah.
And we did it. We rose to the top. We got that Wally. So we're looking forward to doing the same thing next week.
I agree with you. That's a fantastic feat. There's a lot of seasoned players out there. And it's tough. Like with any racing in any good sport, it just comes down to seat time, basically. And you guys went out there just dominating from day one. But, you know, we've seen you in racing for quite a long time. You're doing pro mod and whatnot. How's pro mod compare to, because Melanie Troxell's a good friend of mine as well, and Melanie was always like, I did this, she's like, but then it wasn't fast enough, and then I went to the next one, she goes, and then it wasn't fast enough, and then I was in funny cars, like, how's that good, but then it wasn't fast enough, and I was like, where do you keep going? She's like, I can't go back, you know. So I don't know, like, what is top fuel, your love, or
are you gonna race jets next?
I don't think jets. You know, for Melanie was speed. For me, my goals were really, really simple. I just wanted to be able to make a living drag racing.
You want the Wallys?
I want the Wallys. I thought it'd be cool to. What you would consider a professional fighter, right? Professional wrestler, when you get paid to do it, right? So I thought if I got paid instead of paying to drive a race car or like driving my own car, if I got a $50 check to drive someone's race car, I'm like, I'm a professional. But I thought if I could ever make a living doing it someday, and I didn't get to really pick my opportunities, and I just took advantage of all the ones that came and made them as best as possible. Mm. And it happened to be faster and quicker, better teams, better equipment, more educated, intelligent, experienced people. And so that was my goal, is just being the best at whatever I was dealt, and it happens to be and the world's fastest and quickest cars.
Yeah. People always say, it's a cliche that's been around forever, that if you love your job, it's never really work. But you don't. The part of that people forget is it's a lot of work to do that job well. To do the job you love and make it something really successful, you're going to work harder at it more than anything because you love it. That's the part that I think people forget.
I think so. And I don't have kids, but I guess what I would equate it to is, like, no one's going to take care of your child like you are, right? No one's going to love your kid like you. And when you have a profession that you love, no one's going to baby that, take care of it, ensure that it has a healthy future like you do, like yourself does. So that's kind of how I treat it. And to keep it going. And honestly, it has a lot to do with you guys. I mean, you support the brands that support us, and we change week to week. Maybe you might know or not, sometimes we're the 1320 Scat Pack car, we're Mopar, we're Sparkling Ice, we're Papa John's, we're Pennzoil. We've got another one coming up this year. I mean, we're constantly rotating, and that's what it takes, because Nitro is not cheap, and running these cars is not cheap. So it takes incredible partners and incredible people that get behind us and cheer us on and support our brands and the products that keep us racing. And for that, like, I'm really thankful.
You know, I've been to a handful of NHRA drag racing events. I know you have as well, Bill, and everybody here has been seeing it and hearing it all day, which has been fantastic. But give us a little insight. Hey, how you doing? Hey.
And Indy, all right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Both classes. Wally's in both classes.
But
Thank you. Explain
what it is to what it's like to be at an event live. Why it's so important to go to a live event at least once. Like, you got to go. First of all, I think it's one of the greatest forms of racing that, that you should bring a family to with headphones. Bring the headphones.
Yes.
But it's so amazing. And I know you guys can explain it better than I can, but it's not something you can just hear. But you can smell it. You can feel it. There's a pressure on your chest as you're sitting there and watching it that pushes you back. Like, you, as you fire down that lane, everybody watching can feel that.
You can, whether you're on the starting line from a crew member, and that's kind of where you get the most pushback, I guess you'd say. You feel the heat of the car. You feel you have the fumes, but the fans have it as well. So most of the stands are, you know, they're aluminum and they're high rise, and you've got your drink, your Coke, your Mellow Yellow, sparkling ice, whatever. It's there shaking and shaking completely off. Now just imagine, like, your internal body parts doing that, but in a good way. That's like I like to say, it's, you have a sixth sense that you never have had. You're experiencing something that you've never had before, where all five of your senses are being touched at one time, and you kind of, like, you really don't know what to do, like, except take it all in. So as a fan, I started going to races when I was 8 years old. And then once I started going to live events, a national event, 12 years old, saved up my allowance, waited in that gate for, you know, 45 minutes to get in, paid my $18 hot dog, went with my friends. And, I mean, I was waiting in line for an hour in the sun for John Force's autograph. And Tony Schumacher's. He was like that new kid on the block, like 22 years old. I was like 13, had a crush on him. Like, the whole fan experience. But I loved seeing the cars race. Whether it was Pedal Fest or records being broken at Pomona, that was my home track. And then going down into the pit and seeing them work on the cars. Given, I'm like a 12, 13-year-old girl. And I say that, girl, not a bad thing, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I raced junior dragsters at that time. And I just see injectors, blowers, heads coming off, oil going, brah, 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 you got tools flying everywhere. I didn't know I just knew that what they were doing was phenomenal. And they were trying to do something great and under pressure. Like, you could feel the pressure as a fan when the teams are doing well or when they're struggling. Like, everything is there before your eyes. You don't, there's no mask for it at all. Like, barely for the nitro.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of that more than just racing the car.
When you're in there and that green light flashes and you hammer down, I can't imagine what's going through your head. I mean, there's a lot of focus, but, you know, I sat down with our buddy Larry Dixon at one point, and he managed to spin his car around and then keep going. And I was like, "What's that like?" He's like, "I don't know. I was just holding on." Like, he didn't. He's like, "It happens. I don't know." And then one of his cars, like, bent up and busted in half. I was like, "How'd that go too?" He's like, "It was a bad day. He's just I don't know. He keeps walking away from this crap. I don't know how he does it. He's a maniac." But everything is, like, anything can happen out there. We've seen some tragic disasters out there, but the excitement seems to trump everything.
It does. I mean, I guess you'd say adrenaline. It's like a drug, and it gives you such a high, and it does for me. Winning is really the cake on top of all of that. But, yeah, being able to – I'm sure Larry can go through a run with you like I could right now. I could spend 15 minutes on one run that takes 3.65 seconds,
yeah,
330 miles an hour. But when things go bad, and I knock on wood, I've had great race cars and a great crew, people, and safety where I haven't had anything terrible happen to me. You know, there's a reason that the costs are so high and that it takes so many people. So Don Schumacher Racing, every time you see one of our cars, like the car that was on the track today, has got 10 crew members, and we have 7 teams, but we have 150 people within our organization that are dedicated to improving fabrication of our chassis, dedicated to improving whether it be our blower snouts to our blocks, just safer. Oh, quicker, of course, obviously. Better performance, but safer, so that we, when we do have bad incidences like that, you know, a reason that a chassis, so Larry Dixon, he had that unfortunate event. It's like a perfect storm. So you can have a chassis that has too many runs on it. We tend to front half our chassis every 75 runs. That's when you can see the chromoly start to get a little weak. So we front half it. But if you there's cars out there that got 200, 300 runs on the same chassis. Well, they're going to be weak. You pair that with another track that may not have the smoothest surface, Got little ski jumps in it. It might have cracks, little dips. You put that and you unload the tire and it bounces again. And then that arc that was once weak breaks, and that's usually right before the foot box. And then really all hell can break loose. And, you know, Larry's been able to walk away from that. Along with Steve Torrence last year in Dallas. That was a horrific crash. They won that round in the second round, made it to the semis, brought their spare car out, was able to turn that around in 50 minutes. And because of that, when we go testing in 2 weeks in Indianapolis, we're bringing both of our cars out. We have a spare. We believe that we could have it race ready if something happens, but we don't really know that for sure. So we're going to test our main car, test our sidecar. And as soon as we get done with it, drain that oil, unlash the valves, drain that oil, put it up in the trailer, and pretend like if we needed it, we can get it ready in like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's all about the crew. We get all the glory, but the drivers do. But it really is about the tuners.
There's a big
crew.
Team. They're always thrashing around. They're having a good time. It looks like they're having a good time, and it's an exciting event to go to. If anybody hasn't gone to a live NHRA event, you absolutely should go. You should check it out. Like, it's almost indescribable.
I have a question. So have you been before? Which races have you been to?
Oh, God. I've been to a number of them.
Caps, right? Okay.
Caps and Perdomo and Bernstein and all the guys back in the day. I'm an old man,
you know?
Yeah, Caps came in not too long ago with his Hellcat.
What's that?
Caps came over to the studio not too long ago with his Hellcat.
Yeah.
He was driving his Dodge around.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Right before Pomona.
Yeah.
Right? When he was going.
And then Perdomo had his out at the Winter Nationals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right up the road.
Yeah,
he got it delivered. Yeah, he got the Demon delivered just for that event.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, when you're Dom Perdomo, the snake, you can do
that. Yeah,
but
I got mine
before him.
That's all I can say. Yeah.
Well, it was because he made the phone call. But
all right, guys. Well, thank you so much. We're running out of time. I appreciate you coming in. Definitely follow Leah Pritchett. She's all over social media. I believe the website is leahpritchett.com.
Yes. So, there. Yes, it's leahpritchett.com. I do all of my Instagram on my own. Today I've got my friend Eric. I can't do Instagram from inside the race car. So we do have some good help, but I try and get back
not
to
yet.
Everybody.
You can't Instagram yet.
I don't think Don Schumacher. Like, I'm already in trouble for texting and driving, so I don't want to gram and drive. But I appreciate all the following. It's great. I love sharing what we do. Whether it's a high, right, and you win Denver at the Dodge Nationals for Mopar, you're the Mopar car, or we lose a race and it's my fault, or we have a parts failure, or we're going through some challenging times.
But like, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah,
because people
could
see you through the trials and tribulations, and then see you overcome all of it and come out in the end. I mean, that's where you win your fans. If you went out and won all the time, kind of like, yeah, well yeah.
I mean, you could show that, but if you don't show the other parts, then too, because we're all real people. And
yeah, you got to humanize yourself.
Yeah, learning all the time. So, and I know we're doing celebrity driving right now. We're going to go drive some race cars.
All right, go get some more Wallys. We're pulling for you. Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Thank you, guys.
Leah, thank you so much. Let's give her a big hand.
Pleasure.
You got it, darling. Take care. Be safe.
I'm going to tell Don you say hi.
Please do.
Yes, absolutely.
Say please now.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up here as well. Goldberg, where can there you go.
That's his name. Okay.
To Perdomo. There you go. Perdomo gets a selfie. Where do we find you guys? Where do we find you on social media?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it's tough right now because everybody has
you got hacked.
Everybody hacked all my emails, not all my social media stuff. Goldberg's Garage is still there.
Okay.
On Instagram. Goldberg 95 is still there. My Goldberg 95 I have on Instagram, and Goldberg Garage I have on Twitter. All the other ones are somebody else's right now.
Ah, jeez, it's a nightmare.
But I'll get them back soon.
I tell you what, follow CarCast Show.
Follow CarCast Show. Period.
And we'll put everything else up there. Of course, you can follow me at Moderator. Guys, thank you so much for coming out. This is a great event. Go eat one of those $18 hot dogs Leah was talking about. Have some fun. jump into this Dodge simulator going on over here. We got demon simulators that look amazing. We're going to have to do that. Oh, and stick around. We're going to do some drag racing, right? We're going to do some drag racing today.
I think so. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know.
We're going to hit the track and drag race some wide body Hellcats, I believe. So stick around for that. For our producer, Chris, and Bill Goldberg, I'm Matt DeAndrea. Until next time, keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
See you later.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.